Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
I had quite a few people ask me the other day in response to the video about the guy who put the deposit on the car. And I said that a lot of car dealerships will do things that they know are wrong. A lot of businesses will. But they know the amount of money is so small that you can't afford to hire an attorney. And if you're in a state that does not allow the recovery of attorney fees on a successful lawsuit, which most states don't unless you have a specific statute that allows it, then they know it's not worth your trouble to sue them. So they just do these little things for $1,000, $5,000, whatever dollars it is, knowing that the average person won't come after them for it because it's not worth the time and effort because you can spend $10,000 trying to recover your $10,000. And so quite a few people said, Steve, what about small claims court? What about small claims court? And there's an interesting point about this because it sounds like a simple solution, but it's not. And there's a reason why you can't count on small claims court in a situation like this. I'm going to go through the process. I'm going to let you know I did do a video 2 years ago on how to handle a claim in small claims court. I did not rewatch it recently. I did look it up to make sure it's still there because I did do one. How to handle your claim in small claims court. And I'll put a link to that in the description below so you can go watch that as to how to file a claim in small claims court. But right now I'm talking about whether or not it makes sense to file a claim in small claims court over a small dollar amount against, say, a car dealership, and whether or not that actually solves the problem that I was talking about, which is the cost of attorney fees, because small claims court, as you may know, does not involve attorneys. So for those of you who don't know, and those of you not aware of the American legal system, I do have viewers in other countries, small claims court is available, I believe, in all 50 states. But courts across America have situations where somebody can file a lawsuit, and the parties come in and resolve it in court, litigate it, and so on. And most courts, most states, allow for a thing called small claims. And that is where the claim is so small that the court will actually say, we're going to let the parties come in and argue their case before us without attorneys, without all the rigmarole. It'll get done in one day. Usually it's very simple litigation, and usually it's small dollar litigation. In Michigan, for instance, the limit is $6,000. Some states are up to $10,000. Used to be much, much lower, but they've actually raised it with inflation. For those of you who've seen the People's Court is small claims court. Small claims court, what they do is, for People's Court, they actually go to different courthouses and they find the filings and they contact people and say, look, if you want to be on TV, we'll let you argue your case in front of Judge Judy or whoever. And what we'll do is we'll pay, I believe they actually agree to pay the loser's portion if the parties agree to go on TV. So it turns out to be great for everybody because we get to watch the crazy things that people file lawsuits about. But it's a very simple process. And I tell people, I say, look, if you want to file a claim in small claims court, it's just like People's Court. You write down a complaint, what's wrong, who owes you money and why. They serve it on the other side. The two of you show up in court. You make an argument just like on People's Court in front of the judge. Judge makes a ruling. Boom. Case is over. And so there's a simplicity to it, a streamlined process. But there's one problem. And I'm going to tell you right now, I pulled the forms for small claims court in Michigan. District Court Form 84 is the affidavit and claim for small claims. And it's the form you fill out when you're suing somebody in small claims court. And so there's a thing that goes, your name and address, their name and address, and then it, you describe the reason as to why somebody owes you money, the amount claimed, you fill in a blank there, and it's pretty straightforward. And then there's an affidavit for service, so they'll usually serve it for you, or they'll tell you that you have to hire a process server to do that. But page 3 of the form says additional notice and instructions to both the plaintiff and the defendant. You must bring to the hearing all witnesses, books, papers, and other physical evidence needed to prove or disprove this claim. So in other words, your case is going to be heard one day, and that's it. No adjournments, not going to be a multi-day hearing. Then it says, second, before the trial or hearing starts, you have the right to, one, and this is in all bold, remove the case to the General Civil Division of the District Court. Then it says, or two, have the case heard by a district court judge, and if it's heard by a magistrate, you can appeal to the judge. But let's get back to the first one. You can remove the case to the General Civil Division of the District Court. And that's what generally happens. So if you sue a car dealership in Michigan in small claims court, 99% of the time, you will serve them with that complaint, and then they will serve you the notice saying we've removed the case to the General Civil Division of the District Court. What happens then is it gets moved over to regular court. Now, you're allowed to go to regular court without an attorney. I've seen it done. But the problem is they get to bring an attorney. And their attorney, when running up against somebody who is not an attorney, is going to start doing all the stuff they would do to you if you'd filed it in district court in the first place. And you filed it in small claims to avoid that. Okay? So when you get to district court, the judge might ask you to file a better lawsuit, meaning that the claim you filed with that form is very, very vague. It actually does not give you much room to really list what you're owed. I mean, it gives you a space to fill in a dollar amount, but it goes, the reasons for the claim are, and there's only 2.5 lines there. And so an attorney, the first thing they'll probably do is say, we want a more definite statement. We want them to actually spell out and ask you for an amended complaint, basically. And then they might counterclaim you, to which you'd file an answer. They might serve interrogatories and requests to produce on you. They might take your deposition. They might serve subpoenas on you. There's all kinds of things they might do. But it's all the stuff that could happen to you in district court that you would hire an attorney for, generally speaking, to handle. So if you want to go through court without an attorney, you can do it. I've actually met people who've handled lawsuits that were either filed in small claims or filed in the general civil division, and they went all the way through even to trial without an attorney. And it can be done. I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm simply pointing out that the leg up that you think you're going to get by filing small claims, you can lose instantly because it says right here, before that hearing starts, you have the right to remove the case to the general civil division of the district court. First thing they tell you, you have the right to do. So even a defendant who's unsophisticated is going to read this and go, okay, I can stay in small claims, or I can simply move it to the general civil division of the district court, which is what they're going to do. Now, I should tell you that in the old days, there was one other thing that made a big difference here. But that rule's changed. So I'm happy I looked this up, because learn something new every day. I'm not sure when this rule changed. But in the old days, in small claims court, it was generally considered to be for claims between people. Okay? You and I are involved in some transaction. I think you wronged me. I sue you in small claims court. We both show up, argue our case. And somewhere along the line, people started suing businesses in small claims court. And there was a time when, because there's a rule saying you can't bring an attorney to small claims court, a corporation is not a person. And so anybody who shows up in court on behalf of the corporation, well, if they're not an attorney, they can't represent the corporation. And if they are an attorney, they can't be in small claims court. So there were some judges who would allow corporations to show up in small claims court and kind of ignore that little nuance I just told you about. And there were some courts that had a notice in the hall by the clerk's window that said, small claims actions cannot be filed by or against corporations. And I remember courts that had that sign up. But you can now, because on page 6 of the booklet that they give you on how to get a money judgment in small claims court, form DC-84. On page 6, number 6, it does say the defendant can be either an individual, a partner, a corporation, a sole proprietor, or an other organization. And then it says you should pick the box that best describes that. And then it says the plaintiff can be either an individual, a partnership, a corporation, a sole proprietor, or an other organization. And somewhere else in here, it does say that if you are going to go into court and you are a corporation or you're suing a corporation, you can designate someone to go in on behalf of the corporation who is not an attorney but can stand there and pretend to be the corporation. So it says the person in court must be a full-time salaried employee of the sole proprietor. It must have knowledge of the facts and the claim. And then it says, if you're a corporation, you must be a full-time salaried employee of the corporation, and you must have knowledge of the facts in the claim. So you can't send someone in who just says, yeah, I'm here on behalf of the corporation, and the corporation didn't do this. You have to actually be the one with knowledge of the facts. And so I, you know, can imagine situations where a huge corporation like one of the automakers getting sued in small claims probably is going to say, we just have to file it. You have to, you know, remove it to the general civil division and have an attorney go in and handle this because who here has the specific knowledge with respect to this particular claim. Chances are the knowledge lies with a car dealership someplace. But not my point. So my point simply is that if you have a claim against a business and you think they owe you $6,000 in Michigan or up to $10,000 in another state, and you want to file it in small claims court and you think that's going to get you around the issues, it might. But I have to tell you that I've spoken to a lot of people who filed small claims actions, and I'm sure many of them will chime in here. They filed a small claims action against a corporation, and the corporation hired an attorney, removed the case, and next thing you know, they're up to their neck in litigation. Now, some people did ask about the sheer economics of hiring an attorney or simply dealing with a case. So let's suppose that you got mulcted for $10, 10 bucks. I repeated $10 as if that was the part of the sentence most people didn't get. Mulcted, M-U-L-C-T-E-D, mulcted. You got mulcted for $10. $10. But as a matter of principle, you're going to file a lawsuit. It's a corporation that got you for 10 bucks. So you file a small claims court lawsuit for $10. Filing fee is going to be more than that, but you can often get your filing fee back. So let's assume you can get your filing fee back. So you're suing some corporation for $10. They get served with a summons and complaint that says we're being sued for $10. You are correct in thinking that many businesses will look at that and go, we could remove it to the General Civil Division, we could send someone to court with knowledge, or we could cut them a check for 10 bucks plus the filing fee, whatever that might be. And many corporations, especially the larger ones where it's not going to be some guy who's got a wild hair who's going to go, I'm going to fight this on principle, is probably going to go, you know something, $65 filing fee, $10 for the claim, cut them a check for 75 bucks, see if they'll go away. And that's probably a likely outcome on a claim like that if you have a good basis for the $10 claim. What happens, though, is as that number goes up, their resistance to paying it goes up also. And so, you know, I've had people tell me that they sued a large corporation for $1,000, thinking it's got to cost more than $1,000 to hire an attorney, isn't it? Well, you know something? They might have an attorney on retainer. They might have attorneys on staff, you know? Or I've actually known people who worked at corporations who said, and we have a policy, we don't pay frivolous claims, we don't pay small claims for fear that the word will get out. People will start suing us, okay? So short answer to the question, if you're thinking about suing somebody in small claims court, the idea that it's in small claims court, it starts there. It might not end there because in most states, they've got the right to remove it and take it right over to regular court. And so you're right back at square one. And then number two, like I said, some states might still have the rule, but there was a rule at one point in time where corporations couldn't even be sued in small claims to begin with. So you want to find that out also. But there you go. That's why small claims might not be the answer. And thank you. I had quite a few people comment on it. So there's a video. And in the description below is a link to my previous video, How to Sue Someone in Small Claims Court. Questions, comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. What do you call a bee that lives in America? A USB.